The Icons of Real Estate Podcast. Are you ready to learn the proven money-making secrets from top-producing icon agents? Ready to skyrocket your business? This podcast is for you. Tune in every week and find out how to implement proven strategies to 10 times your business, from $3 million to $30 million in just 12 months. Brought to you by the Masters in Real Estate Marketing, Ardor SEO.
Welcome to the Icons of Real Estate Podcast. I'm your host, Ken Elbin, and today's guest has a really interesting story to tell. A former professional tennis player, she's done stints in radio and even the pharmaceutical field before she decided to put all of her focus onto real estate. Since then, her specialities and accolades have been stacking up, and I'm hoping that Sedona Verde Valley's reigning champ for sales volume is here to share just how she dominates the luxury market. Coming to us from Sedona, Arizona, EXP icon, Chris Anderson. Chris, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Awesome. And I know you have quite a bit you want to talk about, especially in the move to the luxury market and how and what you're doing there and some other ways that you're pushing your edges. But before we get into that, my guests have a story to tell, same as you. You're the best person to tell it. So take us on a journey, your journey through real estate or up until real estate.
Sure. So I'm going to dedicate this to my mom and dad, okay? Because I just lost them in the last 2 years. And mom was the one who told me I should do real estate. And I put that off for a good 12 years. So as a professional athlete, I got out of tennis, if you will, retired from that career, and then went into medical sales and pharmaceutical sales. And that was a grind. I kept progressing upward. But the interesting thing was I plateaued because I became a hatchet woman. And what I was known as was the gal that went around and worked with representatives and sales reps to improve their performance. And all I was doing was firing people. And I didn't like that because that's not a win-win. That doesn't feel good, you know, firing people, because you're going to exit a job or if you don't have the production, they'll eventually fire you, right? So my mom's like, you should really think about this real estate thing. And she was a real estate agent in Arizona, and I was practicing, my pharmaceuticals in Seattle, Washington. And I made that change. And I immediately loved it. I'm very organized. I have systems. And I think that's what all agents should have, are really good systems. And that started my career. And when I go through the 28 years I've been doing real estate, I look at one of my biggest challenges that I've overcome, which was being in a very successful metro market in Scottsdale, Arizona, and making a change to a smaller town. I thought that would be really simple. And it was actually the biggest challenge because it's a small town and people are very territorial.
Yes.
So breaking into that was probably more difficult than calling on a doctor in a hospital on an elevator and shutting the door on them, you know, and making that sales pitch. So now I have a team of 5 full-time real estate agents, one that we are still giving business in Scottsdale, and then the other 4 work the Sedona Verde Valley. But when I first started in Sedona 8 years ago, I was by myself and built that sales volume up where we had over $292 million in sales in the last 3 years. Wow. So for us,
that's crazy.
And say us, yeah, it's great. But for us, you know, that journey has been a lot of work. And people say, you know, on the outside, you might look like Michael Jordan, but inside, you're constantly refining and getting your business better and better. And
Absolutely. Treating
the client's got to be the winner. You've got to be customer focused. And that's what we've been able to do.
And I'm sure part of that, the sort of takeaway that you've had, or the nice little residual benefit, is repeat clients and referrals. But I often find that how well those are, or how likely that's to happen, goes to how you actually handle the transaction, especially that first transaction, the first time you're doing business with them. What do you do that's different to sort of set that up in a good way?
I think the best skill I have is my ability to follow up and to hold everybody accountable in the transaction. I think it's too easy to give your transaction coordinator the file. But as an agent, I think you need to be very involved, like checking the
Hands-on.
list, the banker, the title company, really reading Schedule B of the preliminary title report, doing all those little things that a lot of agents don't like because that's where the deals fall apart. So my biggest tip is, be very hands-on when you're dealing with the buyer and very hands-on with the seller. Sellers need the communication, and that's got to be, I'll always ask them, how do you want to be communicated with? And how often do you want to be communicated with? I have some sellers that want me to call them every day. And guess what? I call them every day.
Awesome. So for you, it's not really a case of over or under communicating. You tailor your approach for each client. Do you have like an onboarding process really when you first start speaking to someone?
We have a, well, it depends on the buyer and the seller. We have our checklist and what we do, but my biggest thing is going through the checklist and asking the questions of the clients. The biggest thing we can do is ask that key question, how do you prefer to be communicated with? Some want text, some want calls, some want emails. And in Sedona, the majority of my sellers and buyers want the calls or in
Okay.
person. Yeah.
That's awesome. So, tell me a bit more about this tennis career. How long did it actually go? And do you ever pick up a racket from time to time?
That's an interesting question. Okay, so I played on the tour for 2.5 years, and I was able to play with Jimmy Connors and World Team Tennis. And I was just an average tennis player. Dan, I just was just gutsy, and I love that the competitiveness of it. But I mean, Steffi Graf at that time and Martina Navratilova, I actually got to play her. They're just incredible athletes. I mean, I'll give an example. Steffi Graf, I watched her train. She was on a unicycle juggling balls. I'm like, I'm not that good. I'm really fiery, but I'm not that good. So I gave it my all. And after that, I was into medical sales and pharmaceuticals.
So it's you never it's not part of your like secret guilty pleasures to every now and then unwind.
It's not because once you're at that level, it's weird psychology. It's unless you keep up on it and you're gonna do that. If you're like even ping pong, I'm like, gosh, I want to fire that ball. It's so I don't do it as much, but I am actually liking pickleball. So maybe pickleball will be my new fun thing.
So I'm getting a sense that you are very you've got a competitive streak, and that's great for a realtor to have, especially in a very competitive market. But you, I know, and correct me if I'm wrong, you're putting a bit more of your focus on the luxury market at the moment.
We've really,
Okay.
our average sales price is a $1,050,000. I just closed on a house at 2.725. I love that challenge because it's a rare bird, and I love going and targeting, marketing, finding those buyers that can afford the luxury homes and telling the story and getting the right ads out, both on the print side, but also on the electronic side and the virtual side. So it's just a good challenge, and that's what I love about real estate. It's never boring. It's always a challenge.
Absolutely, and I think that's because what many fail to realize is to be in real estate, you're not actually in the property business, you're in the people business. And
That's
that
right.
element is what keeps it fresh every day, like a bit of a roller coaster sometimes, I'm sure.
Very much so. I've told our team, we had a team meeting yesterday, none of the transactions are going smoothly, and it's because there's a lot of chaos in the world and things that we can't control. We can only control the marketing and our communication with our clients and manage expectations. So that's the biggest thing I'm telling them. Manage the expectations and things will be okay, and we'll get through these transactions that are hairy.
And I think it feeds into that thread again you were saying about communicating. If there's a problem, communicate it. Don't the It's the kiss of death if your client comes to you to let you know about a problem before you've come to them, even if you knew about it, I'm sure.
Right. And I watch, and I've trained a lot of agents, and those that hide or don't communicate, or they're just doing texts or emails. It's so one-sided. So it's not, that's not going to fly. It won't work.
Yeah, absolutely. And it'll drive you crazier than real estate would anyway. And I mean, on that note, what do you do to stay sane? What's like your, what, how do you unwind then at the end of a day?
Sure. So a big part of it is exercise. I think exercise every day and keeping moving is our philosophy. Good people, surrounding yourself with positive people. I have an awesome puppy. He's a Boer Doodle. He keeps me very active as well. And I have a great life partner, and he and I share our lives with our friends and family members, and having that entertainment time with them, breaking bread for dinner. That's the way it's all about, in keeping your health. I mean, if I have good health, both physical and mental, then I'm going to be able to do this job.
That's really, no, that's nice. It's always nice to hear there's a bit more of a, I love a wholesome story like that. So another thing that you mentioned that you wanted to chat about, and I'll be quite honest, I'm a bit in the dark here. So I'm hoping you'll guide us through it. You mentioned breaking into the second home feeder market. So what is that challenge exactly? And what are you doing at the moment to try and overcome it?
So before moving to Sedona, my systems were targeting not only geofencing a neighborhood or neighborhoods, but direct mail pieces. And 180 days before I landed into the Sedona market, I'd already planned how I was going to do that. So geofencing over 5,800 homes, mailing to those on a consistent basis, meaning monthly, and a really nice 4-page, really what's my home worth newsletter, property brochure, glossy, expensive, but quality. And what my whole goal was to show the quality that what I've been doing in Scottsdale was successful, could be repeated in this feeder market. So that's how we got started. I knew if I started 180 days before I hit the market, I'd get a call within 90. I got a call within 45 days. And then it was a matter of presenting and practicing from scripts and doing a great job in the presentation to show them what I'd be able to do for them to list and market their property, because listings are where you're going to find your money. So it's all about getting the listing right. So we practice that. I now have 4 others. I'm teaching how to do this. And it's kind of fun now because I'm co-listing more with my team members and seeing them step up and getting better and better. So it's like we're making better agents. And that's always fun to see, right? Because now we're dominating that market. I mean, if you're in a small feeder market and you have over 15% market share, you're looking at that going, yay, you know, that's good. And it's great advertising. And we're big in our community, Dan. We sponsored the Sedona Run. We showed up at 5 a.m. We have big booths with all of our great properties on big boards, and handing out chapstick with, you know, I'm branding today even. You'll see me, I'm always branding. Chapstick, so even my peers, I just did a cross sale with another agent. He's like, you know what happened? He goes, my buyer came to me and said, hey, Steve, why don't you give me chapstick? So I'm like, this is great. Our branding is working, right?
Wonderful, and absolutely.
That's the fun. So we're at the St. Patty's Day. We built out a small house, which we donated to children. We're going to be at the chili cook-off, so we'll be cooking chili. No other real estate team is doing that in Sedona Verde Valley. We're just showing up at the community events. We have fun. We hand out our chapstick. We make chili, and we're being seen constantly. All our cars are branded with our logos. I mean, we just want to seem like we're everywhere. And guess what? We are.
Awesome. And I didn't actually introduce it yet. What is the name of the team that you operate out of eXp?
I love Sedona Real Estate.
Awesome.
I love Sedona Real Estate. And that's not me. We wanted to have a really great brand because we do love Sedona.
Sounds like it. You know what I was actually just thinking? This is next time you do the chapstick, have printed on the side there, the only realtors' names who should be on your lips.
That's it. That's good. I like that.
I know that one's for free.
Thanks, Dan. That's awesome.
Good. So what's next? What's next for I Love Sedona? What's next for the team? What's the big target for the next for 2023?
Our 2023 goal right now is $55 million And that's just because we're in a shifting market, to be realistic, to hit and attain goals. Because if you don't hit the goals, then you're depressed, right? So we need
Of
to,
course.
we're refining, and just our goal is, as on every list appointment, we want to secure 95% of every listing. And we want each member of the team to make over 150,000 gross commission. That's our goal.
Awesome.
You know, let's make sure everybody's happy.
Dig it. And if some, and for realtors trying to break into the luxury market, what would you say is the top one or two things that they need to bring to the table if they have any shot of doing a good job or getting the listing or getting the client?
If you're going to break into the luxury market, you need a mentor. There's no way you could just jump into the luxury market. You need somebody who knows it, speaks it, been at the clubs, knows, you know, the private jets, you have to have those connections. And the best way to do that is to find an agent that you respect, that you can shadow or get mentored by. And then the second thing I'd say, the biggest tip on luxury, is your ability to communicate. Managing expectations at that level is a whole different gig. It is very, they make really good money. So people that make really good money have really made good money for a reason. So
yes,
they're going to push your buttons, and you have to be very confident in yourself.
And I think that a bit of a trademark for those more affluent clients, you know, especially sellers, is they've done really well and they're really good at making those split second decisions. And you don't want to be on the bad side of that decision when it happens.
That's right. And you have to be strong. I mean, you do have to. I've been toe to toe with some of my biggest CEO clients that have managed thousands of people. And they'll tell me what I should be doing for marketing. And I said, you hired me, so let me do my job. I'm the marketing expert, you're the seller. And that's kind of my tone with them, and they're shocked, but guess what? They know I'm coming from a place that I'm not gonna roll over. So that confidence factor is very important. You know your job, have really good confidence in yourself. You know you can execute it. And I'm just gonna say this, like competitive tennis, you know, somebody's in your face and you wanna talk, let's talk. You know, you get up here, let's do this. That's the strength you need. And I say that, and some people have a different style, and every personality style is a little different, but your versatility with each client is important.
Fantastic. And I think similar, it's just like tennis. And I think more for people who have played at the pro levels like you, you can't only be making the reaction you're going to be making after the other person's hit the ball. You need to be anticipating by the angle of their body and the way they're moving towards it, where it's going to go. And I think that's the takeaway, is you need to anticipate the needs or anticipate the problems, really, as much as you can.
Right.
Love
and
it.
And I would say this, the one thing I know about tennis and real estate, in tennis, I can see the shot coming, but I can't see the shots coming all the time in real estate. And I think just being able to, so I try to be as proactive as possible, but sometimes your reaction speed is so important, and how fast you get, you're going to get plowed sometimes, and how fast you get back up is so important.
Mm, I love that. So someone's in Sedona. Let's just imagine I always do this. It's one of my little trademarks. Someone's in Sedona tomorrow, and they are looking for something in real estate, or they've got a real estate problem that only you can solve. What is that problem? Why should they only call you? And how do my viewers get in touch with you?
So you're in town, Dan. The reason you should call me is so I'm really well connected, because I know you're not going to buy tomorrow. I know that you are going to have to experience Sedona and love Sedona. So we're going to make sure you have the best experience, the best hikes,
awesome,
depending on what you do. Maybe you're a mountain biker. Maybe it's a great restaurant. We're going to set you up, and we're also going to show you properties, and we're not going to put the pressure on you. We're going to give you everything you could possibly know about Sedona, all tidied up in a nice little bow. We have a lovely folder with everything you could possibly know, and we're going to make it a fun experience. And
awesome,
at the end of the day, I'm going to say, are you feeling good about Sedona? And are you feeling good about how we had this day together? And you're going to say, yes, I love this. And I'm going to give you chapstick. And I'm going to say,
love it.
I'm the
I love
only
it.
Real estate agent that should be on your lips.
Dig it. Love it, love it, love it. Absolutely. I love your energy. You said you were fiery on the tennis court. I think it's still the same in your real estate now. But I've really enjoyed having you on the show, and especially because you're going to be turning into you've got these targets to break into these newer markets. I'll be paying attention, and I really hope at some point in the future I can have you back on the show.
Great show, Dan, and I love your energy too, and your tips, and you're just a great person, and I so appreciate being here.
Awesome. Love it. So from Ken Elvin at Icons of Real Estate Podcast and Chris Anderson from I Love Sedona in Sedona, if you can believe it. Thank you for tuning in. Stay tuned for more.
Thanks so much.